So they did all that, and they had good numbers. I think the high night was 21, and we've never been over. Well, the last time we did VBS, our high was 12, and the first night out the gate was 14, and we never went. It was 14 and 20, and I don't know, 19, 20, 21, something like that. So it was good. So it was good. And I was watching it very closely. Is this something we need to keep doing? But it was really good. I thought it was great. I'm hoping you're enjoying the 4th of July, our country, nation, celebration. Hopefully that you are. Find something positive in it. But regardless where our country is, I want to remind you that Christ is first. Christ is first. And the power, that Jesus just does so much with people. He does so much with people. And I want to share with you a few stories today. I'm going to take you down a trail here in about three quick stories here about how Christ deals with people. So, Mark, I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 8. I want to say we cannot give up on Jesus, no matter what's going on in this world right now. We don't give up. We can't afford to do that personally, and we're just not called to do that. Regardless, we're not called to give up on Christ at all. But I want to share with you some things that Christ has done with some people. And I want to start here. In the book of Mark, chapter 8. It says, in those days, in verse 1, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then the disciples answered him, how can we satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took those 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftovers, fragments, and now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. I want to get into just a couple of things here before we go to the next one. I want you to see that Jesus has compassion on people. But I also want you to see that these people, there's something about these people that Jesus is using power to help them. And one here, he said, these people have been with me for 3 days, and they have not ate for 3 days. I wonder how ours would be, how we would be. When we follow Jesus out, where we know that some of those basic necessities we would have to trust him with. I want to remind you also that Jesus sees all things. And he sees this crowd. He knows this crowd is hungry. He doesn't want to send them back home. He's going to send them back home, but he doesn't want to send them back home hungry. So not only were they getting spiritual food, but he also wanted to take care of physical food, because there was a need for the body to eat. And so he had compassion on this group. He was concerned for these people. Jesus has a heart for people. And I believe it's when you follow Jesus, he's not going to let you go hungry. He's not going to let you go away hungry. I believe when you're with Jesus and you allow Jesus to do what he needs to do in your life, and even around you, I believe you're not going to be the same anyway. I don't know how you could be. But this crowd came in. And whatever all that Jesus spoke to them, they all could have took some different things away, but they all took this one thing away. He fed us. We didn't have anything, but he fed us. I think Jesus loves to show his compassion on people. Those who are willing to follow him, no matter where they go, where he goes, that they'll follow him. Mark chapter 5 is another story. And these stories you'll know, many of you know, some of them you may not know. But this one here is a more personal one. This one here is somebody that is hurting. This here is with a woman. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see this multitude thronging on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Sick for 12 years. Nobody could help her. Let me just take a side note. People who are sick are looking for hope. If the doctor can't get it, the hospitals can't figure it out. Listen, people who are sick are looking for hope, and I'm telling you, hope is found in Christ. I believe this woman saw and her hope was coming. Her hope, she knew, was this man who was healing people and teaching people. And she heard about it, and she sees this crowd, and she makes her way through. Not pretty sure her physical energy is not as strong as everybody else's, but there was something in her that was stronger than other people. There was a desire that all she said, I don't even have to talk to the man, I just need to touch him. So her faith is pushing her, and her hope is pushing her. As that faith draws her and pushes her toward that hope, she sees it, and if it gets by, he's going to pass by, and she'll never catch up. But she makes the point where she reaches out, and she just wants to touch him. You notice that Jesus only speaks blessings to this woman? This crowd was all over him. There's other things that's going on before this day. This day is a busy day. And I'm telling you, this is one of the busiest detailed day that we see. One of the most busiest days. He's got a big thing coming up right after this. But there was a crowd that was all over him. People pushing, people shoving. But what does Jesus do? He turns around and he listens to this woman, because the scripture tells us that she said the whole story. Now listen, some of y'all can talk for a long time. Let me tell you, Jesus already knows your story. But there's something about you speaking it out to him. And she shares that whole story with him. He doesn't say a whole lot, but she's listening. And what does he do? He blesses. It's all about blessing. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. It's all blessing. She came what she was looking for, but she got more than what she was asking for. She got more than what she was looking for. She got a conversation with the Son of God where she said, all I need to do is touch the hem, to touch the garment. And that is true. But there was more than that. When you chase after Christ, you'll get more than what you think. You'll get more than what you think. John chapter 8 tells us another story. John chapter 8 is even more messier. John chapter 8 verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. It's always where he's going to pray. It's where he takes his personal time with the Father. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. This is funny how this happens in the morning. This is early in the morning, and they're already going to be on him. Then the scribes in verse 3 and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This, they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is easy to point a finger at someone else. It is easy to point a finger at someone else. Isn't it not? It is. But we don't like it when they're pointed at us. Just a couple of things in this story here. We see a woman that's caught in adultery in the act. Well, they bring her right out in the middle. We don't even know if she was dressed or not. They didn't care about this woman. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about who she was. She was just a tool to snag Jesus. That was it. And her embarrassment, the belittling, all of that. And this crowd points a finger. They didn't care as long as that finger wasn't pointed at them. Jesus never said this woman didn't do it, but he wanted to remind them, you need to point that finger back at yourself. If you have no sin, then you can be the one to take care of some business. And the scripture says their conscience, oh man, I can't do it. I believe sometimes Jesus wants to get people out of the way so he can have a deeper conversation. That's why a lot of times your conversations with the Lord are when it's just you and him. Getting down to the nitty gritty on your life. You notice that she is guilty. She never defends herself. That's a good way to start with the Lord when you're talking. Don't defend yourself. Don't defend yourself. But what does she do? We rarely, seldom see this in Scripture. We see it some, but we seldom see it in these situations. But what does she do? She calls him Lord. The sinner in the middle calls him Lord. And nobody else is even saying anything like that. You think this girl was laughing? It's probably had a few bruises on her arm by these guys just grabbing her up. She's humiliated. Doesn't excuse the sin. But she still has enough to call him Lord. This is the God we serve. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Isn't that something? Neither do I condemn you. He said, go away. Go on. But don't do this again. Sin no more. Let me remind you of something what Jesus said in John chapter 3. We know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He was more concerned about this woman's salvation. And this woman, I believe, she came in as this adulterous woman and me in there and everything, and everybody's fingers were pointing at her. Everything was saying guilty. I mean, even all the evidence, everything. Yet Jesus, there's a way, and she is forgiven, and she walks away with the charge of don't sin no more. She walked away different than when she came. That's what I want to tell you today. Now we see here that in this first story that Jesus meets the physical needs of 4,000 people. If you know your Bible, he also met the needs of 5,000 people as well. And another feeding. And those crowds actually have more than that. But also that Jesus heals. That second story that he heals. And we've forgotten that. We've forgotten the compassion that Christ has on people. But we also forgotten the healing part. You want to ask me if I believe in the gift of healing? Yes, I do. I just don't believe it's on TV like that. I believe God just does it the way that he does it. But I believe also in this third story that Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. I'm going to share a couple of things with you here. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them, but I want to share some other things that Jesus did. Jesus turned water into wine. He cast a demon out of a man who was in the church. He cast a legion out of demons out of a man. He gave sight to a blind man. He healed 10 people with leprosy. He raised a widow's son to life. He raised Lazarus from the tomb. He raised Jairus' daughter. Man's ear was cut. It's cut off, and Jesus puts it back on. He took a guilty criminal hanging next to him on the cross to paradise with him. He offered everlasting water to an adulterous woman at a well. He healed a nobleman's son. He healed a man who for 38 years had a physical infirmity. Jesus heals a man in church who had a withered hand. Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus called his disciples friends. Let me tell you, Jesus is about people. But people need to be about Jesus. We as believers need to be about Jesus. We need to be there. We need to wake up and know that Jesus is still doing amazing things. We may think that it was then, but let me share some stories about what's going on right now. Here's one. When I was 18, I had no direction in my life. This person says I was depressed, suicidal, and addicted to drugs. I didn't think my life could get any worse. But then I lost my mother and father in a freak car accident. That was the final straw for me. I had no one else in life, no reason to live. I threw my body off of a bridge in an attempt to kill myself. But as soon as I began to fall, I immediately regretted it. Suddenly, I saw all the things I wanted to achieve in life as life passed before my eyes. Marrying a beautiful woman, starting a family with her, and becoming a doctor. As these things vividly flashed before me, I could hear a voice that I could only describe as ethereal. It was in the moment that the Lord had decided to save me. I miraculously survived the fall, which baffled every medical profession that checked on me. I knew that God had spared me because he had great plans for me, and that gave me a will to carry on. That was 10 years ago. I am now a qualified medical professional. Here's another one. I'm telling you, Jesus is active today. From a white supremacist Nazi to a man of God. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am proof of change. His change in me. But later down the road, I fell into homosexuality. He redeemed me from that too. I am proof of change. With God's all help is possible. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Here we go to another angle. I suffered PTSD from a fire 25 years ago where I lost my 3-month-old baby, my 18-month-old baby, and my 4-year-old niece. I have been depressed and with anxiety, but I am not finished yet. I am a child of God, and I ain't dead, and if I ain't through, and if God ain't through with me yet, so I stand with everyone who has faced fear and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are children of the Most High God. My father was in prison. Here's another. And he held the record for being in the hole the longest in Oregon. He had a hit on him in prison. He said when he thought he could take no more, he cried out to God. It was a prison guard who gave him a Bible. And when he began to read the word of God, he said he could not stop reading, not even to eat. When he was done, he gave his life to Christ Jesus. He began a motorcycle ministry visiting prisons to share the good news and to set many inmates free. My father is in paradise now. God is amazing. Here's another. A child molester in the foster homes. That was my childhood. But by the grace of God, I have forgiven my abuser and given my life to Jesus Christ. The day I gave my life to him, I felt like I was hit by lightning. There is no way I can explain it. It was and still is very powerful. Our King and Father are so good. Here's another. I remember my son while going through stage 4 cancer in 2006. He was so weak, but yet full of faith. And he would pray for those who came to visit him. Today, he is cancer-free, miracle-free, walking, and has a successful business. Oh, yeah. When cancer was found, the doctors gave him 3 weeks to live. We serve a great God. I'm telling you, I want to tell you folks something. Listen, we got to get off of our rumps. We got to get up and start living and serving for Jesus. You're missing your minute. I'm telling you, I'm not a prosperity person, but I'll tell you this. You're missing the miracles that God has for you because we don't want to let God be God. Your faith needs to ignite to a level that's beyond yourself. That's not you. If you control your faith, then it's not faith. You're in control. Faith is when you let go. You trust God where you can't handle it no more. You trust God where your faith stops, you lean on His. When you jump, you don't say how high, you just say how far. And I'm telling you, God wants to do some things. We got to get off of the negativity. We got to get off of what's going on in the world. We can live in the world, but we don't have to be. Listen, we don't have to be of it. We need to be different. We got to get back to some holiness, because the world needs to be looking and see what is this God about. We need to be talking about what God is doing. We need to talk about what God has done and what God is going to do. We need to start living holy. We got to give reverence, even reverence, back in this church, how we act. How we take care of this church, we got to start taking care of it. This is God gave us this place. We got to start taking care of it. But our lives have got to show a reflection of Jesus Christ. These lights up here will not be lit up until we get on fire for Christ. It's about faith. It's your increase in faith. You got to have. You don't want to be one of those people who just listens to what everybody else, what God has done in everybody else's life. You ought to have a testimony. You ought to have several. You got to be speaking it out in life on how God brought you through your hard times, how God brought you through because of His compassion, His mercy on you. You got to really believe. You got to really believe in Jesus Christ. Not just believe the stories, but believe them. Not just believe in the miracles, but believe them. You got to believe that Jesus can do something in your life. Maybe you need to be running after him, and you won't have to run far. He's already there. But maybe you have to reach out and you have to grab at him. Maybe you got to reach out and you got to put a little bit of effort in it. Maybe you got to get in front of him and talk about some stuff in your life that you got to get rid of. Let me tell you, you can't wish it away. If it's a sin, it's already anchored in you, because if you could have got rid of it on your own, you would have already got rid of it. You want to know a couple reasons why I think this church isn't packed? Because people don't want to hear. People don't want to hear we live like garbage. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that there is only one way, that there is a heaven. Everybody wants that. But people don't want to hear about hell. People want to hear the promises of what the world's going to offer, and the world cannot offer anything. It doesn't keep any promises. Satan is a thief, he's a liar, and he's a murderer. Jesus wants all of you, every bit of you. The attitudes have got to go. That's got to go. The jealousies, come on, we ain't got time. Listen, if you want to walk with Lord, you got to put that stuff aside. If you can't do it on your own, you need to get right with God. You got to get that right. It's not that God's got locked doors on the blessings he wants. It's that we're locking them. We're shutting the doors. We're not doing what we need to be doing. We need to be doing what God's called us to do. Live a holy life. Be the voice in the wilderness. Let the light of God shine out of us into that dark world out there. Take a lick. Take a cut. It's okay. Listen, the healing process is going to be so much. It's the healing process is a testimony in its own. And for some of us, we're not getting any younger. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Quit asking Jesus to get on all your stuff. Start getting on what he's doing. And he has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. Let me tell you. We've had a lot of spiritual battles in this church. We still go through them all. We still go through them all quite often. Sometimes you know about them, sometimes you don't. But we get through them because of the power of the Lord. Satan has a grasp from here, there, he fights, whatever. It isn't that this church is Satan's not going to destroy this church. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's people. If a church is destroyed, it's people. If a church don't grow, it's people. If you don't grow as a Christian and individually, it's yourself. You got to put effort in. You got to pick up your Bible and you got to read that thing. You got to pick it up and you got to say, "Look, I don't like to read." Listen, you read everything else. How much time do you spend on other things? I'm telling you, don't fool yourself. You're lying to yourself. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be a desire. There's so many miracles that God has done in this place. So many miracles. Buying houses at low dollars. Not having funds to be able to take care of things. And then that money just comes right in. And it comes in a way that only God could do it. There's been some people saved that people thought would never come to Christ. And you get used to it. If you're a participator, you get used to it. It's like watching the game, but you never get to play. Let me tell you, the best experience on any game, if you want to pick football, that's fine. If we do football, the best experience is not in the stands, it's on the field. And all you get to, you don't want to be that person. I'm telling you, when they want to celebrate and they won the Super Bowl, we get excited, we happy. But let me tell you, nobody's happier than those guys on the field. When I talk about New Life here, I talk about New Life Ministries. Listen, I bleed this blood. I'm not boasting. I'm not bragging. There's others that you do the same thing. I don't go home. I want you to know I don't clock out. This is on my heart every day. Praying for people that I know need to come to Christ. People that are struggling with, been Christians 10, 20 years and still struggling with envy and jealousies. We got to be done with that. Nitpicking and all that stuff. That stuff's got to go. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you let the Holy Spirit work through those things so that you can experience some of the things that we talked about today. Whether it was the people that we talked about in Jesus in the Gospels, or it was the people that we talked about, what happened with those people. Who in each one of these stories, whether it was I jumped off of a bridge, or my father was in the prison, whatever it is, God intervened. And they let him intervene. And we got to let God intervene in our lives. You are not the best at making decisions. And neither am I. But he is. And we need to remember that God, we need to trust him. We need to trust him with everything. Trust him with your marriage. Trust him with your kids. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your job. Trust him at your church. Trust him when you need to step out into a ministry that you're a little scared about. Trust him. You need to trust him. We need to trust him. Quit pushing him back. We need to learn to love the Lord. And compassion for others. God saved us for a purpose through his Son. He didn't want to condemn us. He sent his Son to save us. And I have that today. And you have that. Most of you have that today. We should be ecstatic. We should be excited thinking about what is God going to do with me today. Listen. Every pain you're going through, for you that are struggling, you can share it with people, and people will only take you so far, even family. Because nobody can go with somebody all the way. Just can't do it. Even Jesus, when he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took his three, Peter, James, and John, right there but then the Bible says, and he went a little further. It's just you and him. And today, maybe that's what you need. Go a little bit further. Lord, help me with my faith. Let me tell you, we read three awesome pieces of Scripture where Jesus did something amazing that only God can do. And then we read these five or six, these half a dozen stories of what happened in our world today. And this is just a grain of sand. And if we can't get ecstatic and excited about what God is doing, we might need to check right here. And how do we check this? We check it with him. Not with yourself. You'll fool yourself. You check it with him. Maybe you might need to say, do I really believe? Father, as we get ready to step out of this moment, I pray, Father, your Spirit would be upon us during this time in a way that only you can be. May we never feel that we've totally arrived, but that we continue to lean upon you. I pray, Father, for each person here today that your Spirit has spoken to them in a way that they need to be spoken to, that they've had ears to hear, that they may respond in the way that you would have them respond. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.